So I want to do a very difficult Rashi, famous, but difficult. So it's basically it's a Bereshis, Aleph Yud Aleph. Pasuk says, "Vayomer Elokim." Hashem said, "Tatzei Eretz Dasha." So the earth should bring forth, like I guess, herbs or grass. Esev, Mazria Zera, grasses that grow seeds. This is an important part here for us. Eitz Peri. Osa peri lamina. Okay, so eitz peri means a fruit tree. Osa peri lamina, that makes trees, that makes fruit according to its species. So that's repetitive. Eitz peri, osa peri. What does that mean? Well, it's a fruit tree, if not for a tree which makes fruits. Asher zarovo, so alarat, so it makes relates to a species that grows. So you can, right? That seed is in it on the ground and so what so. Okay. Then what happens? Well, Tozi Haaretz Dasha, Esa, the land did it. Esa, Masriya, Zari, Minahu. Ve Eitz, Osa, Pri. Asher, Zara, Minahu. So notice what's missing. It no longer says that double Asham. The double Eitz, Pri, Eitz, Osa, Pri. It just says Eitz, Osa, Pri. Right? It leaves out when the ground did what Hashem said. It didn't say anymore this double thing that it made a fruit tree which makes fruits. It just said a tree which makes fruits. Right? Okay. So, you wouldn't make much of it if you just read it. I would have just read it. It's free. A fruit tree. What does that mean? It's explaining. You also prelimino. That makes fruit trees. Makes fruits. And then, the second time, it doesn't explain again what it meant. It already explained what it meant. But, you know, you could say, well, it's hard to explain what it means. Everyone knows what a fruit tree is. So Rashi says like this. Okay. So if you haven't heard this Rashi, get ready. Osa pri. Eitz pri. She heitam ha eitz ketam ha pri. What does it mean, a fruit tree, other than that it makes fruits? That the taste of the tree is like the taste of the fruit. Okay, that's no big deal. Vihi lo asasakena. But the ground didn't listen. The ground was told to make trees which taste like the fruit. But the ground didn't listen. Ella, rather, but the ground just made a tree which makes fruits. It didn't make a tree that tastes like fruit. Right? As we all know. Right? Trees don't taste like fruit. Or we think we know. Lefikach, since the tree didn't listen, and since the ground didn't listen, Kishneskal el Adam, alavono, when Adam was cursed for his sin, nifgida gamhi alavona. So too, the ground was also mentioned or taken to task for its sin. Kishneskal, and it was cursed. And as the pasuk says, in Beis, Zion, I say now, Gimel Zion maybe, it says after the punishments, Adam Amar. Right, no, one second. Yeah. Because Adam, you listened to the voice of your wife. And you ate from this tree, which you were told not to eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you. You'll eat it with suffering all the days of your life. And it will have thorns and thistles will grow. Gimel Yudayin, in your class. Sorry. B'zeh sapecha toch alechem, you'll have to sweat of your brow, you'll eat bread, atshulcha l'namaki, you'll be fine. It's basically saying is, it's going to have to go to the ground, it's going to be cursed, it's not going to grow so well anymore. Rashi says it's going to grab bugs, and worms, and all kinds of stuff. So, the ground is going to be cursed.
But we wouldn't have needed pesticides if not for...
Perhaps. Yeah, perhaps. Seems that way. Right? So this is just the same. The ground is cursed. What does the ground do wrong? I'll tell you what it did. It didn't listen to what Hashem said. Hashem said, Eitz Pri Osa Osa Pri, that the trees should taste like fruit. But the ground didn't listen. It made regular, bark-tasting trees, not fruit-tasting trees. So that's a problem. I mean, it's very nice, but it's like anthropomorphizing or a trees, the ground. I mean, the ground has bechira, the ground knows and stands, was God's commanding ground things, and the ground's sinning. I mean, the whole thing sounds a little bit ridiculous, right? If someone would read this, they'd have to make fun of Chazal for saying such a thing, even, right? But presumably, there's some idea here, right? Other than simple pshat. But the question is, what is it? Right? What idea is trying to be conveyed? Good. What's true is that, what would it be good? A tree, which would be taste like fruit, would get eaten pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Wouldn't really be a very good tree. Right? Fun, the whole thing
is
fun.
Stay around long enough to be producing,
For sure. Try to understand what the whole Havmina was, so to speak. What was God thinking? That's a good question. Why was the ground, if it sinned right away, so why did Hashem wait to punish it when Adam was punished? I should have got punished right away if you tell me that was the grounds of Avera right then. So what are you waiting for till Adam sins later? But that's what it says. It's included when Adam was punished, is the ground was punished, that such that the ground, now Adam would have to, first of all, work very hard, and there would be thorns and thistles, and Rashi says there are bugs in the ground, and worms, and all kinds of problems, you know? So that's a good question. Is if why wasn't it punished right away, right? That might be a clue. Seems that way. Or I mean, at least the timing of it sounds that way. Sounds like it somehow was instigated. That's why Rashi says it, is when Adam was punished, it mentioned, included, like, the ground also. That does indicate somehow that it has something to do. It's not that the ground is being punished, but somehow it becomes included in the in Adam's punishment for some reason or somehow or something like that, you know? So I'm thinking like this, that, see, how do we take this, like, so to speak, there's, like, somewhat of a disagreement here between God and the tree, right? So it seemed to be is like, and I think it's kind of the approach you were taking, Rachele, a little bit, is that there's the way to interpret that in a general way, just methodologically, is there's some sort of a tension going on between two different trends, so to speak, in the creation. On the one hand, God wanted it to be a tasty tree. On the other hand, the ground is depicted as figuring out that that's not a good idea, you know? And there's like a tension here. So maybe it's like, it's a feeling, and then that's just what it's indicated, is to kind of figure out, you know, come up with an explanation for that, and then once you have a good, decent explanation, it's sort of being tested against the curse thing, you know, see if you can somehow fit that in, which I think where Ayala's, you know, direction is a good way to go. We just have to kind of piece it all together. So maybe, like, the idea is that, and I was discussing this with Rabbi Weiss a little bit last night, he was kind of, you know, he may think of some of these things, that
Weiss in Seattle?
Well, he's currently in New York. But
yeah. Oh, are you here?
No, he's coming in a minute.
I got
Yes. That one. So so what happens is that on the one hand, trees are created to eat. For man and for animals to eat. Okay? That's the primary objective. And that's a pasuk. Says after Hashem created Adam, Amar Malkim, Hinei Nasati Lachem Es Kol Esav Zareo Zera Shel Pnei Chol Haaretz Es Kol Eitzah Shebo Priya Zareo Zera Lachem Yeh Lachem. So you take all of these fruits and all this stuff growing, and it's for you to eat. Ol Chol Chaya Saaretz Ol Chol Ov Hashemayim Ol Chol Remes Al Haaretz Shebo Nevis Chaya Es Kol Yerig Esav Lachem. Aichen, so it's given to basically to man and to animals to eat it. Okay. So that means they were basically food. The trees and fruit trees and all these things were essentially made. Its primary function, doesn't mean it has other objectives, or whatever. Its primary thing is given over as food, and that's why man has the right to eat it. And animals have the right to eat it. That's what it's designed as. Again, among other things. Presumably you need the carbon dioxide or whatever, but, you know.
Shade
and firewood and whatever. But it seems like its primary objective thing is for food. Okay, and as such, if I ask you, in terms of food, what would be the most efficient food is if not only was the fruit edible, but if the tree itself was edible, or at least participated in that realm, is in a certain sense, you could argue, is it's wasteful. You have all this extra wood, which is just wood, and no one could eat it. All right, so like in a certain sense, I mean, we have a lot of things like that in nature, where, you know, you have like an orange peel. I mean, you can't eat the peel. So it's like a lot of stuff which is isn't edible. In terms of the objective of fruits, in theory, you should make the, be able to make the tree also edible. But although that's a nice theory, because the goal is for eating, so get the most eatable eating possible, but it seems like the ground held, or of course God held, but that's not possible. Because in, on a simple level, it could be in terms of the long-term success of fruits and trees, fruit trees, it wouldn't work out. As I think Al mentioned at the beginning, is a tree is going to be eaten. Part of what makes trees so great is that they're strong and that they're firmly planted in the ground. They're not knocked down. They're not eaten. They don't taste like anything if you leave them alone. And their tree, their fruits, they grow these fruits all the way up high. And thereby they have much more, they could last better. Right? And insofar as, yes, for one particular generation, if people, one particular moment, if everything was edible, everything would be great. But then the whole world would disappear very quickly, and then you'd have to replant all these new things, and it's not efficient in terms of the long-term plan of the ground. The ground is, so to speak, planning how to best maximize its food. And in terms of the planning, the best plan is to make trees, to give up and have them inedible trunks, but it's worth it. And it's also in a similar vein to have peels on oranges and on bananas and whatever, to still be protected. So if that were edible, it could have a lot more food. Yeah, but it's going to get ruined very easily. So there's an idea. So that's a similar idea. It's not always smart just to take everything and make it all the objective. Yes, food is the objective, but it doesn't mean put 100% into food, because that's not going to be successful. Right? Okay. Fine. So that could be what it's depicting as the God told it to do that, means that was God's objective, is to be able to create as much fruit as possible, and therefore in theory everything should have been edible. But the ground didn't listen. Means that objective, although it's the objective, couldn't be realized in its fullest, because it would not be, it would, in the long run, it wouldn't work out. Okay? Fine. Okay, so now what happened? So it's fine. So what's sinning, and what's the cursing, and, you know? Okay. So now maybe the problem is like this. Is now that introduces a different problem. Okay? The fact that Plan B was adopted and not Plan A. Okay? Plan B was not inedible trees, as opposed to Plan A, which is edible trees. Plan B introduces another potential problem. Problem if man is not perfected. Not a problem if man is perfected. What is that? Okay, so that is like this, is that trees are awesome. Okay? They could be awesome.
I think that I should never see a poem as beautiful as a tree.
Okay.
I think that's the way it goes.
Okay. So what's so good about a tree? So I would compare a tree in its highest functioning to an annuity. You know what an annuity is? Okay. An annuity is basically, if I understand, I'm not an expert in annuities, but it basically is, say, if someone inherits or someone leaves over to their kids $3 million or $5 million or something like that. And they basically invest it, and they say, you're not allowed to touch this money, but it will earn interest. Let's say it will earn 5% interest a year, so let's say. So then it will cast forth $250,000 a year, so you could live off of that. People do that, like they give it to YU, and they die with millions of dollars, and they give it to YU, and they say, listen, that money stays put, but all the interest or which it generates will go towards YU or something like that. So it basically, the principal stays put, but it generates forth, So the thing is like this, is that in theory, trees could do that. Because you could basically plant your trees, they just sit there, every year they just keep growing fruits, and you just get to live off the fruits. And everything's perfect. There's no maintenance. See, vegetables aren't as good. Vegetables, you have to replant them every year, right? But a tree is unbelievable, right? Trees were great. In fact, Adam HaRishon actually fell for a tree, right? He imagined all kinds of awesome powers about this tree, the whole deal. They said that's the special tree, but trees are were the thing. And the tree, which tree? The tree of plan B, not the tree of plan A. The tree of plan A doesn't have that capacity. Because it would, every few years or whatever, it would go out of existence, you'd have to replant it or whatever, right? It would get eaten. But the tree of plan B, this permanent tree, this permanent tree, which basically isn't eaten, right, is solid, has the ability to really last forever and to support a person, and they wouldn't really have to work it. They wouldn't have to do anything. They just plant their trees at the beginning, and then they just sit back. I guess when I say it's like an annuity, a person can just retire on an annuity, they don't have to do anything. You have your tree, and it will cast fruits, and then you're good. Now, is that good for a person, to have a tree or an annuity, to inherit this annuity, and basically just to sit back and just have money coming out, and they don't do anything? So I'd say it depends. Depends on what the person does. If the person is able to just devote all their energies towards learning and devote to Hashem, thinking, great, you work very little, almost nothing, and basically everything's coming to you, and you get to just enjoy yourself and be able to sit and learn Torah, sit and learn and think about God. That was the plan. Adam Rishon Kodem Achet. His nature, I mean, this is based on Rabbi Zilal Shir about Bereshis, which I hope you're somewhat familiar with. But basically, his nature was that he naturally was drawn towards the good. It says, Chazal say that his Yetzer Hara is Mibachutz, which means that, I think the way Chazal say it means that if he would see Chava, he would desire her. But if he didn't see Chava, he wouldn't desire her. Which means is that he had instincts, but his energy naturally went towards ideas. And yes, he had an instinct, but he had to, so to speak, CR for it to be aroused in order for his energy to go towards instinctual. Which means it was like a much lower attachment to the instincts. And as such, he'd be able to sit and learn all his time. And for him, having a tree, super duper tree, would be great. It would have been awesome. And he could handle it. And therefore, the tree was left that way. No curses, no anything. Before Adam was Chotai, the tree was great. It was easy to plant them. You didn't have Zeasapecha, you didn't have thorns and thistles, you didn't have bugs, it was perfect. But after the Chet, there was a change in Adam's nature, and then Chazal say his Yetzer Hara, it was internalized, and man's energies naturally go towards Taivas, towards the instinctual, and man has to extricate his energies from the draw of the physical. And naturally he's involved in, naturally just sits back and his energies are going towards the instinctual. Even when Chava wasn't there, he's thinking about Chava. So then, in that state of existence, if you have an annuity, if you have this tree, then you're doomed. Because, there's a Pirkei Avos, it says, a person should love Malacha. Or Yafa Tam Torah Necharetz, because there's any Torah which doesn't have Malacha, ends up leading towards a person like getting Shiamam, there's different Gersos or different Mishnayos that say different things. But basically, a person needs to involve their energies in the world. And needs to be involved in Yetzirah Tovalachem. And needs to have an outlet for their energies. So that if a person who has nothing to do, their energies are going to go towards Taivos, towards the instincts. It's a rare person who could totally, totally submit all their energies towards the world of ideas. It's almost, Moshe Rabbeinu Ben Azai.
Idle hands is the devil's tool or something?
Yeah, right. So having nothing to do, having a tree which just allows you to sit there and eat its fruits all day long, all your entire life, is a recipe for destruction. A person would get lost in the world of his instincts. He needs work. He needs, and that was the curse. Adam Rishon, because of your chait, now v'zeh sepech atoch halachem. Now, there's going to be thorns, there's going to be thistles, there's going to be bugs. The perfect tree which emerged from plan B, right? Which was not perfect anymore. Too perfect, so to speak. And would be harmful to Adam. And because of that, it had to be cursed. But that was all because of its sin, so to speak. If the tree never became plan B, if it became the tree of plan A, if it remained the tree of plan A, and it was a tree which tasted like its fruits, which was edible, so to speak, or somewhat edible, then the tree wouldn't have been so strong and so powerful, and it wouldn't have lasted so long. And then man wouldn't have gotten carried away. He would have had a plant that he would have had whatever, he would have had a toil with it. It wouldn't have been that dangerous tree, which had to be cursed. So it's as a result of the tree's sin, so to speak, or the tree becoming so strong and so powerful. That's why it's like somewhat depicted as a sin. I mean, becoming the stumbling block for man, you know, which because it was looking out for its best interest of being able to last, that made it in jeopardy of being a stumbling block for man and made it have to get cursed. So that's what it's saying. It's attributing the punishment of the tree to the sin of the tree. Right? But obviously it's linked to man's sin also. It's only at that point it didn't have to happen. If man never sinned, then the tree would have been fine. It wouldn't have been a problem because man would have been able to relate to it. On the contrary, it would have been great. Perfect. This would have been what could be better. But because of the original sin, it couldn't have been that way. It had to be downgraded. It had to be downgraded, and these clothes had to be introduced into it. And it clothes on different levels. First of all, it's hard to plant it in the first place. Then even once you plant it, it has thorns and thistles which come out of it, so it doesn't even grow all good stuff. Then there's worms and bugs, and you need pesticides. And it's just not, it's different, it's a different ballgame. It doesn't work that way, you know. And you have an annuity, and then you find out there's a Ponzi scheme going on with it. Or then you have, you know, you don't get the 5% return that you're hoping for because the interest rates go down. Or it just, these things just, that's not the way they're physical. The klala is that the physical is not, it doesn't lend itself to this, to the security, which it, which it once did. And that was the klala to the aura of Adam, because when Adam originally didn't need that, that would have been the greatest lilic state. But now Adam originally needs it. Because of his chait, he was cast into a different type of existence where his instincts were strong. Right, more naturally, his energy was naturally drawn towards them, and then he needs this check. He needs to have work. He needs to have the Zeh Sapecha to keep him in line. And he also needed, this is not related to this particular point, but that's an obvious pshat also, that's why also he gave God conscience to help control his instincts. That's why then he knew that he was naked. As I said, before that point he didn't know he was naked because he didn't have the guilt. There wasn't guilt attached to his instinctual. But now that his instinctual is so strong, God gave him a new faculty of the superego or the conscience to combat it, to help him combat his instincts. So that's why right after his chait, that's when God implanted him this new capacity of of conscience. And that helps us also. Our instincts are very strong, yes, but we also feel guilty about them. And we're like cast into a whole new light, and now we have that. So he says, now we have, like, based on the Rambam, it's based on the Rambam thing, now we have Tov HaRa. So before, and there was just Emes and Sheker. Now, the Rambam, this is the modern book, he says, now it's Tov and Ra. Because Tov and Ra is like, has like, not just truth, it's like, oh, you have this complex emotional reaction of the feeling, you know, your superego gives you this thing, it's good, it's bad, it's not just, it's more like value judgments as opposed to just truth and falsehood. And casts them into a different type of a light. So, yeah.
I don't know,
I'm explaining it not in terms of how the science of it worked. Did it mean, did God tell a tree and did it just grow poof like this, or did it take millions of years to evolve? And that's a different discussion. I'm looking at it, so to speak, in terms of God's plan. This is what was going into it. How did God implement it? That's a different discussion. You know, did he poof it into existence, or evolve it into existence? Whichever one, either way, the same idea could be true. You know what I mean? So I'm saying this Rashi's not discussing how, but more like what did God bring about? And what was the plan of bringing it about, you know? So,
also,
I think it's good. I hope you like the shot, but I think it's, you know, whether I think it's good to basically see, because people use these types of things like as like questions. People like joke against Chazal, like, you know, quoting these Chazal Rashi sound like jokes, you know. And I think I always like to go to try to understand. See ideas, because I mean, if this is pshat, I mean, or any pshat, this is a deep idea. It's about the whole element of Adam Rishon and the Bria, and the, you know. So it's like, it's always enlightening for me to see like ideas in these types of things. And the more you see it, the more confidence you get that Chazals, which sound a little wacky, are really deep and enlightening, you know.
I like the concept that you know, belief that Hashem created the world is not contradictory with evolution.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that just because